Hey everybody, this is Lance from DailyActor.com. This week I have the stars of AMC's new series, The Prisoner, Jim Caviezel and Lenny James. Now you all know who Jim Caviezel is. He was Jesus in The Passion of the Christ and Bobby Jones in Bobby Jones' Stroke of Genius. You've seen Lenny James in everything from TV shows Jericho and Lie to Me to the films 24-Hour Party People and Sahara. I talked with them at this summer's Comic-Con in a roundtable interview. It was me, Lenny, and Jim, and another reporter. It was my very first face-to-face interview, and I think it went pretty well. Check it out for yourselves.
Tell us a little bit about your character.
I play 147, who's the local taxi driver for the village. And he is kind of the first friend that Jim's character, number six, makes when he arrives in the village. And at the moment when we first meet him, he is a totally content villager. He has a wife that he loves and a daughter that he adores, and that's his whole life, and that's all he needs to feel secure. And he's totally at home in the village. He is exactly the kind of person that the village wants to be there and to be living there in the way that he is. He knows what roads not to drive down. He knows what questions not to ask. And in amongst that, he's found his own happiness. And then Six arrives and kind of puts a spanner in the works, really, and throws the whole thing out of kilter. And by the end of it, my character has some serious choices to make and a serious kind of price to pay.
So is it just by coincidence that the two of you meet then?
The way of the village is nothing is a coincidence.
Tell me why that you wanted to take the role after you read the script.
There's very few opportunities, or the stuff I like to do is I like the characters that I play to start off being one thing and end up being something else. I like the movement of a character, something happening to them. It's my definition of drama. And on the other side of it, they are changed, they are moved, they have developed. That's the story. That's what stories are to a great lesser extent. This guy has that journey. And he has it in spades, as we would say. And also the scripts were real kind of page turners, but there was a genuine sense of excitement within it. It wasn't just I wonder what happens next. And that's not the only question that's going on in this story. There's a lot of other things kind of going on, and that's what really interested me. The central premise is a very good and tight one. And then the way that Bill has decided to tell his version of the story is really exciting, and it's good for actors. And it's not just about shifting story. There are some great dramatic moments.
Did you have any say in your character?
To a greater or lesser extent. I mean, it's a difficult one with this one because there's a central deceit. Because there's a central kind of conundrum, which is that nobody knows what's happening. So there are certain situations whereby one of the things that we had to fight was our instinct to A, understand it ourselves, and then B, make sure the audience were understanding it. And we had to be very careful about what information we were giving away. And a lot of that responsibility was in the hand of the director and the producers and all of that kind of stuff. But when we would ask a question, as you would normally do in the thing, saying, I don't understand what's going on in my character in this scene, sometimes you weren't supposed to understand.
How frustrating.
Yeah, and other times you could understand, but then you couldn't relay if you needed to get to the next place. So it really was I want to say mindfuck, but I'm not allowed to say that. But it really was sometimes it was a nightmare. And you're a million miles away from home, and it's hot. So it wasn't necessarily the easiest gig I've ever been on, but it was always active, which was good.
Was there any like improvising, or was it strictly to the script?
You could improvise sweat. You could improvise. I mean, there wasn't much room for or need to improvise. I mean, I think sometimes improvising is overrated, and I am uh, I'm, very good at improvising. It's how I started acting, was with a company that improvised their productions and stuff. So I'm very good at it, but mostly it's kind of, it kind of, see, nice guy. Mostly.
Still got sand in it.
Still got sand coming
from the there for months.
But mostly it kind of, it doesn't necessarily help the process. One of the things that we had to learn to be here on this one was precise.
He just got telling us about his character, which I missed the panel. Could you tell us a little bit about your character?
I'm hard of hearing. Say again.
Could you tell us a little bit about your character? I missed the panel.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He is, I think he's in a situation that he's in, a lot of caused by his own, but you learn that in... along the way. It's very difficult for me to tell you any part of who Six is rather than the giving too much away. Even that, I feel, is too much to say. It's a really good piece. Film opens with him. You think he's in a dream. Maybe he is. I don't know. And he's just, from that point on, he's trying to find his way out. Doesn't want to go along. Wants to reveal the truth of what the whole place is, and continually fighting, fighting against complacency, fighting against people that are just, happy how things are, and it's not, rough things up. How I saw that with me is when I decided to come to Hollywood. How many people thought I was out of my mind? And either I follow the dream or just do what everyone else is doing, and which is probably they had dreams, but they'd rather compromise. So when I read the material, I saw that my story in there.
Any hesitation to take these roles on? I mean, this back in the 50s or whenever the original one premiered. I mean, was there any sort of I don't want to redo this or?
Well, I didn't know anything about the original, and I read it for on its own.
Okay.
So I said, "God, this is great. It holds up." And then I heard there was an original.
Like, oh.
And then I said, "Well, if I watch that, then I'm going to try. I'll start copying this and." Copying that, I'm waiting for this all to be finished. We're still not finished with it. I go back to London a couple more times, and at least that much, I guess. But I never want to be. You're always compared. I've done something where I've always been compared to other guys, and at least if I am, I can say I had my own originality to it. Obviously, when I was working with Mel Gibson and he just started talking about Patrick McGoohan, I was asking him about Longshanks and Braveheart, and he said, "Well, this is," told me who he was, told me about it. And I can see how hard this would have been to try to recreate something like that. And I continue to say remake. It's a recreation. It will hold up on its own. And yet it respects and acknowledges the great work he did, and that's why that people are coming back and wanting to do something like that again.
It's unfortunate that the themes in the original can still be very relevant today.
Sure.
Do your characters play on that a little bit in terms of trying to make it current to what's going on?
Strong, very strong. All levels.
And is it set in the future or present day?
It's
not giving away too much.
Yeah, no. I honestly, you should really just go and see it.
No, I'd like to.
See what you think.
I would like to.
It's a poem. It's a very good one because the great poets and are great playwrights and do stuff that everybody can take from. And there's also, it doesn't try to be tricky. It doesn't try to outthink itself. The artsy for art's sake. There is a linear line to it, too. very strong. And everyone will find their own gold mine, that line that you can hold on to. But Lenny said something earlier, you don't know where it's going to turn. And that's, I just kept wanting to turn, oh my gosh, the next one. The first two that were sent to me, and I said, I'm in. Well, wait, just wait until you read the next two. It just kept getting better. And watching this already in the looping process, it does exactly that. This is why I was so pleased. Here we were, shooting all six at once. This wasn't completing one, starting the next, completing that one, starting that. That was wild. And there were so many major changes that occurred in this. That at some point I look at Lenny and say, "How was that? You know, I'm so numb. I'm not the greatest at memorizing lines, but on the day of, you know, I have to do everything I can to try to remember what I'm saying. And sometimes it's just changed. And there you go. And so, I was." It felt like I was, I guess you guys are cricket, but baseball, trying to swing at the ball, and Lenny's telling me, okay, it's fastball inside corner, you know, and did I hit it?
Do you guys still get nervous when you do a big scene?
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't get nervous, you probably haven't turned up to work yet. Yeah, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not the nerves that are the issue is about how you deal with those kind of nerves. I mean, and on this one, it was a big production number. It's easy to say kind of now that we were shooting it like a movie because it just makes it sound like we think it's bigger than it actually is. But we were actually shooting it like a movie. It was a movie crew. It was a movie locations, and the shots that were being called were all movie shots. And it'd be very interesting to see in whole episodes how it works on the box, because you know, down the camera, and Florian who shot it was, you know, would call you over and go, "This is the shot," and you'd look at it and you'd kind of go, "This is massive. This is wasted on TV," but it's. But you know, so there's a lot of things that I'm looking forward to seeing it, just to see, you know, what was all put in it and how it fits into the box, because you know we shot it as wide as possible, and it was shot it on film, and you know, all those old school things that people don't do anymore for television. Yeah. We did it, and it was hard work. Crew worked real hard, actors worked real hard, and people had to bring their game. And I think absolutely across the board, people brought their game, and it was fantastic.
Epic.
Yeah.
Epic feel.
And what made you want to come to TV? Was it the strength of the script?
It's a movie. It's great. This is great. TV is great. Finding any great material is difficult to do. I was shooting a film. You know, I was an hour away from signing on this picture, and then I got a phone call. Wait. There was a glitch in the financing. So I was already in anyway, and then they glitched, and they said, well, money will be escrowed, don't worry. And Frank called, says immediately, wait, you gotta read this. And they delivered it. Immediately, read this now. I mean, like in the next hour and a half. So I sat down and started racing through it. Just blew the other thing away. So it was a no-brainer. And I didn't know what the prisoner was. And I thought it was like, you know, when you do a play, it's the same lines. And I thought, well, this is great. I don't know what that one was, but I'll just know it's completely recreated. Different world we live in now. But the same germ, same genesis is there.
Yeah.
It's evolved, it's gotten bigger, it's gotten worse. There's great love, great hope in it. And you want to believe. And the chemistry between the characters is wonderful.
So would you say that you have a friendship, your two characters, or is it more adversarial? Because you were saying that he brings questions to you that you're not ready to, or your character's not ready to answer.
Yeah, I think it's it's definitely a friendship.
Okay.
It's definitely a friendship. I mean, they, to varying degrees, come to rely on each other. But it's certainly Jim's character forces my character to face up to things he'd much rather not face up to ask questions he'd much rather not ask, and to seek answers that he really isn't necessarily prepared for. And it's that kind of thing, but it's done out of Jim's character's attempt to save himself, but also to save his friend, or to help his friend. Yeah, so it does become a you see the birth and a kind of growth of their friendship, but it's a challenging one. It's not buddy buddy. It's a challenging kind of relationship. There's a lot of trust and truth to get over, you know, because my character just keeps on turning up, and when you're asking about was there much sense of improvising or say in your characters, there's very much one point where Jim had said, I should ask this guy why he's just always there. Why are you always there? And, you know, he put that question out and it became part of the script, where he's kind of going, why do you just show up?
Yeah.
You know, something will be happening with Jim's character, and you'll see him wanting to, needing to get away. He'll look over his shoulder and there I am with my taxi going, do you want to come over here? You know, so, and he's kind of, and after a while he's just kind of going, why are you here? How do you do that? You know, and in that way there's a kind of development and all that kind of stuff, and you know, my character's answers to those questions are very, very much kind of add to and explain their relationship and their growing friendship.
Was there a scene, or so you guys aren't done, so has there been a scene that was particularly challenging, whether you guys couldn't stop laughing or maybe some dialogue was giving you trouble, and how did you help each other get through that?
Some of the scenes in the car that we did in the studio.
Yeah.
Pretty interesting.
Can you set that up for me in terms of what that was?
Well, there's different parts of the story in each episode. We meet up in the car.
In the same location, though?
And we get to know each other.
Inside my taxi.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you get to learn about the world that he's from without going into that.
Sure.
The way it was shot, the way we're in the car, the sound, talking over the sound, that, you know, we have to, in our mind, raise our tone if there's a lot of, you know, racket outside, wind or whatnot. I mean, how much that is. So we're playing it at different levels. That stuff just feels, you know, doesn't feel natural.
Yeah.
But there's also the car wish that we use for my taxi is an old Fiat.
Oh.
and it looks fantastic on the outside, but and because we're using it as a taxi, it meant a lot of the time Jim had to be in the back seat.
Yeah.
Well, there's no room in the back seat for someone the size of Jim, you know. So everything, you know, at one point you have to pull out the front seat just so that he can kind of sit properly. And a couple of times he's got to get in the car very quickly and get out of the car very quickly. And those are just, you know, full-on kind of comic moments, because it's all about the kind of, you know, I can't get into this car, I can't, you know, and all that. So it was, you know, you thank God for the ability to cut and start again, or, you know, cut and jump to something else, because it just, I mean, it was a fantastic car, but it wasn't entirely practical, let's put it that way.
So between the two of you, who's more prone to, I guess, getting into kind of a little giggle fit, even though
I was having a hard time getting in the car. I mean, it was like eight foot man getting into a regular car. It's like crunch in the scene of,
like, Batman in a little coat.
Yeah, it was like, you know, those exactly. Clown cars where, yeah, some, yeah. You know, they all kind of, it was like one of those.
There you have it. Thanks, Jim and Lenny. And don't forget to watch The Prisoner on AMC. It looks great. As always, thank you for listening and visiting dailyactor.com. I truly appreciate all the support. I'm Lance, and I'll talk to you soon.